Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. And this is when the music is supposed to start. And this is when Kelsey puts me on the spot. And this is why Kelsey gets paid nothing, or very little to nothing.
So my computer is glitching out right now.
I don't know. As we can see.
Yep. So say it one more time. Let's do it.
Hey, everybody. It's Norm Farrar. Welcome to another episode of Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. No stress. Anyways, between our guest and Kelsey, we're having technical difficulties. So yes, you've all wanted to see me go into the fetal position. You're about to see it. I'm just about to go there. Kelsey's probably going to...
Relax. Oh my gosh. You're such a child sometimes.
You're gonna
welcome everyone.
Else.
Welcome to the show. So Simon is here. Simon is here. We're going to be bringing him up shortly. We did have some technical issues, but everything's good now. We're good to go. Hashtag no stress. That's right, Marcia.
That's right. So, okay. So, Kels, we got a few things going on today, which is kind of fun. We're going to be, towards the end of the episode, we're going to be talking about our contest winner and the two contest winners, which is
three contest winners.
Three. Oh, my gosh. There we go. Yep. All right. Yeah. I didn't even know we had another one. But okay. So today's going to be a really special episode with Simon Booth. And I can't wait to talk to him about what he's been able to do. You're just using some of the strategies that we've talked about on the podcast. But before we get into it, I don't know what Kelsey's going to say today, but I'm going to just say, smash those like buttons. I'm going to tell you that today you're going to learn a lot just about some of the strategies. If you implement these strategies, what you can do. And this would probably be the perfect episode. If you know somebody who's in Amazon FBA or online selling, get them to tune in and just see what's happening today. What are the current techniques and the results that you can get? Now, I am saying that, not knowing what Simon's going to say. I'm hoping it's going to be positive. But anyways, Kels, over to you. Anything you have to say?
All right. So we did hit over 800 subscribers on YouTube. So that's awesome. We really appreciate it. It's good to see. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe to it. That's the Norman Farrar YouTube channel. So that's awesome. Thank you guys. As well as like and share this episode. Get it out to your friends and family. We'll be talking about the three winners of the two contests that we were running at the end of the show. So stick around for that. And yeah, welcome everyone. Fatiha, Marcia, Tony, Olga.
Nathan, this is going to be Dr. Kaz, DK Kim, everybody
welcome
who's joining
everyone.
Us today.
So yeah, this is a little bit different, this episode. It's going to be kind of like a case study, we're going to be following along Simon on his journey. So it's going to be cool. I'm really excited for it.
Now there's an awkward pause. Is that it? Did you do your thing?
Well, yeah, that's it.
Okay, back to me. All right, yeah. So guys, if you like what you hear, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, throw it over into the comment section. And now sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee or take a shot, whatever you want to do, but enjoy the episode. Simon.
Hey, Norm.
You're there. Oh, my God.
It's all good.
You had me nervous. Kelsey had me nervous. Hey, I want to know a little bit about your background. I understand that you were actually on Dragon's Den, which is the UK's version of Shark Tank. How was that?
That's right. It was interesting. I applied and within about 2 weeks of applying, I was in the den. So I didn't really have any time to prepare or think about it. I was just kind of, I was thrown in front of the dragons. So it was kind of, it's a little bit like this. It was all a little bit, let's just go. And it worked out pretty well, actually. You know, it is quite nerve wracking, but it kind of, you have to think on your feet. But it turned out really quite good. You're in there for about an hour and a half, and they edit it down to like 15 minutes. So, but it was without doubt the best PR activity I've done in the 18 years of my business life. It was phenomenal. It's prime time BBC TV. It gets repeated twice in that week, and then it's repeated over and over again, and they distribute it globally. So it's had tens of millions of viewers. It's got hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube. So it kind of it's worked as a phenomenal piece of PR, really.
Did you walk away with a deal?
We had a deal in the den, but then afterwards kind of decided it wasn't the way to go forward. They agreed. We all sat down and agreed that the business didn't need them as much as I thought they did, and it certainly didn't need to give away as much equity as they wanted in the first place. So we all shook hands and agreed to walk away, and that was it. And but the next day I had Toys R Us and all of the major big box retailers knocking on the door and asking how much shelf space I wanted. So it was a phenomenal exercise.
Wow. Talk about, getting mass exposure. I'm kind of curious when we always see, like if you're watching Shark's Tank or Dragon's Den is in Canada, that's what it's called here too. What it's like afterwards, like are they, I see some horrible deals that are completely one-sided and, you know, the equity is just crazy. The person's giving up way too much. You were just talking about, you came to a mutual decision. I was always wondering if these guys just took advantage of the entrepreneur, or do they walk through and do they allow you to understand that this is a good deal, this is a bad deal? Do they do their due diligence and come back to you and say, look, I'm going to change this around? How does that work?
Yeah, no, there's quite a lot. They get all of their financial team, the lawyers, and there's a lot of due diligence that goes on afterwards. But you and that process in itself, the due diligence is very thorough. That in itself is quite a good exercise. It's quite it pulls your business apart. So, and it allows you to see, you know, under the hood from their perspective, and and they advise you on a good way of organizing it and having better processes in place and how to, you know, set the business so that it will continue to be successful. So that in itself is an excellent part of the follow-up. And I still have contact with, there was two out of the five dragons offered me investment, and I'm still in contact with them. So they sort of follow up, and the BBC do follow up programs as well. So it's a long term. You know, once you're in the den, you're part of the den family, if you like.
You become part of the fraternity.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Simon, just a quick who you are, and you're listening to Lunch with Norm. Why?
Well, Kinemoto is my main business. I've been running that. This is now my 18th year. And, you know, been fully involved at the helm for all of that time. And then Brexit came along in 2016, and it had a significant impact because I import a lot of stuff and I sell a lot of stuff in Europe, and the exchange rates and uncertainty around it has had a massive detrimental effect. I've traditionally sold into wholesale and retail. I mentioned Toys R Us. That was one of our big customers. And retail has really struggled. It has done for a long time. But, you know, Toys R Us, they went. So that was a big part of our business. And retail in itself started to kind of struggle, especially after Brexit. Our export into Europe was a huge part of the business. That started to struggle. So a number of areas that struggled had a combined impact that was not great. So I had to lay off three quarters of my team. I had to downsize the business. It was, you know, it was a tough time between sort of 2016, 17 to 2018, 19, like a couple of years. And it, you know, it had a significant impact on me personally. You know, when you let people go in your business you've built for years, has it kind of, you know, you take it personally. So I struggled a lot. And then we went into COVID and into lockdown, and that was that sort of changed things again. But I had started to move into direct to consumer and e-commerce during that period, moving because a lot of our wholesale and our retail business was kind of shrinking. I had to look at different ways and see what was growing, and e-commerce was one of those areas. And then as lockdown kind of came in for COVID lockdown in March last year, I was pretty much locked down, and I was used to traveling a lot. I'd go to China to see my suppliers. I'd do a lot of trade exhibitions, and you know, I was traveling probably about 20 weeks of the year, and that all came to a halt. And networking is a big part of what I would do as a business owner. Podcasts quickly came sort of a replacement for my knowledge and for kind of live podcasts are great as well, because you can get, there's a bit of interaction there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys know how much I kind of throw in comments and questions and get engaged with a live podcast. I saw you on a podcast on Seller Sessions with Danny, it was a deep dive, and you went into your background, and it really resonated. And I was at that time, I was in a pretty dark place, having scaled back the business and all of the things that like kind of take a toll on you as an individual and as a business owner. And what you were saying kind of resonated. I was like, this guy knows what he's talking about, and I understand that. And you've been through some pretty tough times and bounced back. And that kind of just inspired me to just knuckle down and crack on with it. And then lunch with Norm started, and I'd do Seller Sessions and then lunch with Norm would start at exactly the same time Seller Sessions would finish. So I'd go from one podcast to the next. And I don't think I've missed one lunch with Norm since it started.
That's fantastic.
And you know, just the engagement, just the people that you have on, the guests, the knowledge, the expertise, it's been very helpful. And I've learned an awful lot, especially moving from retail and wholesale into e-commerce. I mean, they're different animals. Running a business is running a business, but going to certain channels is a very different way of dealing with the business. You know, I would sell containers of stuff and pallets of stuff and truckloads of stuff. Now I'm selling one unit.
That is on do not disturb, but what the heck? I don't know what's happening.
But
I'll throw you a curveball.
Yeah, I'll carry on disturbing you if you like.
But, no, just go ahead.
But yeah, so it's, you know, retail, you have your set customers that you're dealing with over and over again, repeat business. Whereas e-commerce is sort of, it's almost one-offs, and you're dealing with thousands of customers instead of of hundreds of customers that you deal with day in, day out, and you get to meet those retail customers, whereas you don't really get to meet your e-commerce consumers per se. But so I've learned so much from your podcast and from your experts and your guests, and you know, I've engaged with a good few of them, and I've been lucky enough to win some of the swag that they've been offering as well. So, you know, I've had some, you know, some consulting and some advice and all sorts of different sort of good things that I've been able to kind of use. And what I've also managed to do is, because there's an awful lot of people talk about exits in this e-commerce space, particularly now, there's a lot more talk about it. And I had much more time available because, you know, I was traveling an awful lot before pre-COVID. I was traveling so much. I was away. I was out of the country. I was, I probably got an extra 20 weeks a year. So that with using, I'm using that time to develop new skills, but I'm also using that time to build a new business. So that was part of this, the exit, all of this talk of exits, because I have no intention of exiting my long-term business. That's going on forever. That's a succession plan. I'll keep building that and growing that. That's me through and through. I've got no intention of exiting that, but I have developed a new business that is an exit strategy. So taking on all of the lessons and the learnings that I've got from you and your guests, it's like, well, let's create an exit strategy.
Very good.
That's kind of built a business. I've got, using all the suppliers that I've got and more, and creating a whole new brand, a whole new product range, and going e-commerce, purely e-commerce, but starting with the exit plan and working backwards. Where do I want to get to? How long is it going to be? And when's that going to be? And so that kind of, that's something that over the last sort of 6 months I've created a new business. So it's in its infancy, it's in its startup stage. You know, I've opened all the accounts. I've got the Amazon account, I've got a new Shopify website, eBay, Etsy, gonna go start up, create a Walmart account. So all of these platforms are now open, and I've designed the product and developed the product. I've gone through all of the samplings. We've done some mass production and got inventory in, done the trademark registration, and gone through brand registry on Amazon. I've gone and engaged with accountants and bookkeepers and done all of the VAT registration, which you have to do across all of Europe, which is another pain that Brexit has created. Again, one of your, you know, on all of these things that I've done, I've engaged with guests that have been on the podcast at lunch with Norm. And each and every one of these stages, you've had an expert that I've then engaged with that's then either has supported me at that point and are still supporting me now and will go on and we'll be part of that, or they're in line to help out. So do you want me to give you some examples of who I've engaged with?
Yeah, sure. You know, and this is really great. The reason why we had you on here, because, you know, we were just talking and, you know, I guess it was, you started the conversation with Kelsey and it was about, you know, how you've worked with our clients and built out a case study, applied it. And it's really interesting that, you know, our listeners, that are either going to be listening live, which can ask questions, by the way, or if they have any comments. But if you're listening to them afterwards too, it can show you that just listening to the podcast, go back. If you're looking for an accountant, search for it. If you're looking for somebody for Google My Business, search for it. But all of these things that we're bringing, it's not just Amazon. The purpose of this was to help Amazon sellers become better online sellers. So build your business, build your Amazon, exit at an optimized valuation, and it's all there. We're trying to bring all those in. And, you know, we try to, if there is any somewhat conflict, we let you know, you know, because we don't want this to, if I have a friend or if I have a business partner, I want to let you know because I want to make sure that you know it's straight, you know, and there's no, I'm not benefiting from this. This is not to, you know, I'm sharing content. That's my goal. Share content to build your business and exit, you know, happily. So Simon, I'm really glad that, you know, you brought this to our attention. Yes. Let's go to who you've been working with.
I'd just like to say on that point there, it's like, you know, you bring all of this knowledge, but it's kind of, it is to share and it is to help the listeners and the viewers. And it's not, you're not pitching, because this is what I see so often I've watched a million hours of YouTube videos on how to do PPC and all this sort of stuff. And they're all at the end of it. It's like, get a bonus and you'll get like, and all of this, it's basically pitching a course or something. And this is the big difference here with Lunch with Norm. It is not pitching a course. It's not, you know, it's allowing people to present their wares, but it's just this authenticity. I know that you use these or you partner with these or you trust these. And there's so much value in all of these guys that you bring on. So the trust is already there. So it's kind of a recommendation from a friend, really. That's kind of what it is.
And thanks. And you mentioned Danny as well. So Seller Sessions, I find that he delivers that type of content as well. He's not interested in pitching. He's actually delivering content. So Danny actually got me going on the podcast. So, I always reach out and thank them. But anyways, who have you dealt with?
So first of all, I think one of the first people I ended up contacting was Joe Valley. Quiet Light?
Yeah, Quiet Light Brokerage. He's a great guy.
So, I mean, just what he was talking about on that podcast, it was talking about exits and how to build your business. And it was – and. I think that was one of the first swags that I won. This was pre Wheel of Kelsey. I had a conversation with him about how to set up a startup with an exit in mind. So he walked me through the sort of, let's start from the end and work the night sort of reverse engineer your business. So we still have contact. And what a great guy. And
did you get his book?
I haven't looked at his book. I think it come out yet. I think it was sort of due, it was coming out or something, but I haven't read his book. But I think, and their website I think has a whole lot of processes and procedures on how to exit, but absolutely fantastic.
Kelsey, make sure you put a link to Quiet Light Brokerage with Mark Doust and Joe Valley.
But yeah, that was the first one that I had contact with. And then I think the next one was Tom Meeks from Avask, which an accountancy, but they deal with all of the VAT and VAT registrations. And again, I won a load of free VAT registrations across the EU. So
that's crazy, by the way. When they gave that away, that saved you a ton of money, I bet.
Oh yeah, it's about £2,500 or something like that was the saving. But I've now engaged them as my VAT filing accountants across Europe. And I mean, their service is second to none. It really is. But yeah, so there's straight away, I've got great value from two of your guests. I had a Ruby Mendez, who had snow.
Yeah.
That was another 30-minute consultancy. I've won a lot of swag from over the last year.
I think Andrew Smith says the wheel is rigged, and it might be, Simon.
I haven't won for ages. I think it's missing it now. Now the wheel, because I've just like anyway. Brenda, oh my God, she's just so smart, and so. It was like a 30-minute conversation, and she gave me something to go away with. It was like talking about YouTube influencers, and she understood my business within 30 seconds of me explaining it, and just went, "You need to go and talk to like these family influencers, like that all these family YouTubers. They've got cameras all over their house, and they like just telling everybody in the world what they do and what they have for breakfast and what like, but they've got tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of followers, and it was just like a penny dropping. Of course, why not? Of course. And these guys love being involved. They love promoting or having stuff and helping, or just being influencers of other brands. So straight away, that was a perfect bit of very, very good advice. And then it just keeps going on. I mean, Craig Darling, I mean, he gave everybody 30 minutes. So I was like straight on, and I was into his calendar and Google My Business. Like straight away, within 30 minutes, I've just changed my Google My Business from just having a Google account to populating it with all of the information that I know. It took, I don't know, 20 minutes to do, and all of a sudden, Google now sees me even, like, it ranks me even higher than I was. So just by filling in some details.
That is still is crazy. And, you know, if you haven't heard Craig, that podcast, go back and listen to it, because he tells you a free way of how to get better ranking on Google. We've changed it. Like, all of the companies that we have are all changed. And I had no Google My Business. Zero.
How much does it cost me?
Zero. Exactly. So, It you can do it yourself. Craig has training, yeah. And you can, like, he's not pushing the service. He has a service, a done for you service, but it's one of those things that if you want to take the time, you can go and do it yourself. You can add the content. You can ask for reviews. And the difference between this and trying to hire an SEO company. So he gives an example of a car dealership, I think it's in Seattle, where he was their SEO company before this, and they were being charged $50,000 a month. He got them down to $1,000 a month by using Google My Business. And so anyways, check it out. And I know for a fact, if you're new, if you haven't heard Craig, contact him. I think it's craig@darlingdigital.com, and he'll give you the 30 minutes consult. If you want to join, you know, join up, fine. If you don't want to join up, just let him know that you heard it from Lunch with Norm, and I'm sure you'll get a heck of a deal. I know he gave everybody that did sign up a really great deal. Yeah. But if you want to do it on your own, it's up to you. And it's, oh my gosh.
Hey, yeah,
that's the nugget. That is the nugget that.
Oh, yeah, totally. He has a course, and he does a done for you service,
Yep.
But doesn't push you into it at all. It's not, there's no, it's not a pressure sell at all. It's just, and he did, and that's it. And I just had the 30 minutes and it completely added value. Like, and that was it. And then the next one, Amy Weiss, she was on and I reached out to her and we did some listing optimization. Yep. And so this was like, this was an hour conversation. Went through one of my sort of parent listings, and so could look at optimizing it, just changing a little bit in the title, in the bullets, just a bit of improvement. And we looked at where it was and where it was ranked. And a week later, we were on the top of page one for every child and every variant. It was just, it transformed how this listing was behaving, and the sales just almost doubled in a week. I mean, it was, you know, and it was doing okay. It was, you know, it's not a bad revenue stream, that particular product. But it just...
So I'm curious with the changes that you made, did you change the title? Did you change the bullets? Did you change the search terms? What did you change that made it pop?
So we looked at the keywords and we found that I was ranking top of page one for a search term that had about a search volume of 3. And it had I think it had an Amazon badge as well. And I was really pleased with that. But Amy's like, yeah, but all 3 of those people that are searching that, they find it. Are they actually clicking on your thing? Let's find some search terms that have got a little bit more than 3. Let's go for like a few thousand. So we did, and realized that we weren't ranking for those keywords. So we just tweaked the title to include proper keywords, and then rewrote the bullet points to be more reader friendly, to be buyer friendly, to explain what the product was and the benefits and all of that. And then we put the keywords into that. So we just wrote some nice content,
yep,
like 5 bullet points that talk about the benefits, talk about why it should be, why it works for you, and the different sizes that are available and how to choose and all of the service that you get and all of the, you know, all of the benefits. And then you start weaving in the keywords into that text rather than go keyword, keyword, keyword.
Yes.
And kind of try and squeeze benefits into it and try to make it relevant to your listing and your product. Write about your product and then put the keywords in. And that's what we did. And uploaded those. I mean, all the keywords, all the search terms were already in the back end. They just weren't in the front end.
So what kind of, by that one thing, so Amy's great at what she does, but by changing that, so let's say that, and you didn't win anything. You engaged her, right?
Yeah, no, she was on the podcast and what she was saying was like, just made so much sense.
Yeah.
So I just went and looked at her website and then I just engaged her that was a paid service.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's $100. I don't know if it's $1,000, but the difference that you had in your website and your sales probably covered that off the first week.
Oh, 10 times over.
Yeah. And I'm curious, what were the difference? What were your average sales per day prior to just changing your titles or changing your listing?
Yeah, so we went from about 15 units a day to probably about 35, 40 units a day.
Nice.
And it's now I'm doing about 100 units a day.
Nice, nice. So this is another thing that once that algorithm picks up and you get that momentum, if you're starting to pick up and you're getting those higher end, higher converting keywords, now you're getting that momentum, the algorithm will see it. They're going to see that your conversion rate is higher and you're going to get promoted more. And it's really that simple.
It really is. That's it. It was just tweaking the title and the bullets. It was that simple. I mean, we've had everything. We've got the product's pretty good. I mean, it's got good reviews. We've got hundreds of reviews because this product's been selling for years. Like, and it's sort of, it just wasn't optimized. The listing wasn't optimized. So
I got a question about kind of off topic, but okay, you've got this optimized listing. You're getting some great sales. Have you ever thought about, or do you have Amazon recommended editorials?
No, that was that's kind of the next step, if you like. I got that from you last week, and I thought that's something that we haven't done.
That can increase your sales easily by 10 to 30%.
Yeah, so that's a PR reach job. That was
Shane does. He was talking a bit about that. Yeah,
you and Shane were talking about that last week, and it was like, okay, yeah, we'll look into that. That's kind of next. That's the next one of the next steps, if you like. That's on the to-do list. Mm-hmm. PR reach is on my list. I also won a press release distribution. I wrote quite a long press release, and you distributed it. So that was another thing. Who else have I engaged with? Marcia, who was on, who's been on one of your podcasts, who was on with me previously, and she's one of the regular listeners.
We
engaged, and I mean, what a font of knowledge she is. She's like,
isn't she?
just inspirational, and just a genuinely kind and great human being. So I've engaged with her a few times, and we've had some contact. And there's a lot of others that are in the chat and in the Facebook group that, you know, we just kind of engage, and it says there's the community side of things, which is, when you're traveling and you're going to a lot of trade fairs and you're seeing factories, you're doing a lot of networking, you're seeing a lot of people. When all of that's taken away, you just don't get any networking.
There's Amy.
She's great, but the networking opportunities which I've had from being part of the Lunch with Norm community and this whole e-com community, it's filled that gap, if you like, and which is invaluable, because running a business, certainly running a small business, is a very, very lonely place. It's hard work. You're thinking about it constantly. You're not 100% sure that you're making the right decision.
Right.
And having a community that you can go to and trust and be part of and bounce those ideas or those questions and you get feedback pretty quickly, it's invaluable. You really can't put a number on how valuable it is to be part of that. It's like having friends and family that know what you're talking about, because most people, my friends and my family, really aren't that bothered about me. They're bored of me talking about business and like this, that, and it's literally, they're just not interested in it. Look at him, he's going on again. So having a place where you can happily talk to people, and I say it's lonely, it can be a lonely place, so you've got to have this network, and this is what you guys provide. And going back a year ago, like I said, I was in that really dark place, and the podcasts have definitely given me hope and inspiration and drive and motivation, and got, you know, I'm back in the light now. So that's one thing. I think there's a lot, and this is a nod to Danny with sort of his Mindset Mondays. Would be a lot of this, nothing to do with e-commerce. It was all about making sure that you're looking after yourself and your well-being, and, you know, and those sort of things. That really did step me out of the darkness and back into the light. And it just definitely is a much better place to be now. But that there's always, you know, and I think you might have kind of alluded to it as well when you were talking to Danny in your podcast about how there's always light after dark. You know, the sun always rises in the morning. You know, the darkness isn't always there forever. And that's sometimes it's not always, when you're in it, it's not easy to appreciate that.
Right.
And, you know, something that not everybody talks about all the time, and they don't like to dwell on it, but, you know, an awful lot of people do struggle. And, you know, I'm sure everybody at some point has to deal with hardship, whatever it is, with some traumas and life itself, you know.
Life, so. Business. I always look, and I don't know if I do this myself, if it's psychological, but I find that there's always something comes up, usually every 3 months. So there's a challenge that comes up. I don't know what the heck it's going to be. But something's going to come. Am I going to receive an email from Amazon? Am I going to get something from my bank? Am I going to get whatever it is I got to deal with? And as long as I know, and like you were just saying, that, you know, in my younger days, I'd go to bed completely stressed, wouldn't get sleep, bleeding ulcer. Like it was bad. And, you know, worried about this, worried about that, worried about making payroll, worried about, you know, whatever it would be. And it never ended up being as bad as it would be. Never, ever, you know, and that's now, you know, when something happens, I don't know what, you know, and in the next 3 months, I don't know what's going to be, but guess what? I'm going to brush it off my shoulders. I'm going to get to sleep. I'm going to wake up the next morning and I'm going to go to work.
No, they're the words that you said. I remember it now. You said it's never as bad as what you think it is. And it's so true. They were the words that pulled me out of that that place. And I'm grateful. Thank you for that, Norm.
Oh, you're welcome. Jeez, somebody actually listened to something I said. My son Kelsey never does, but but anyways, no, I'm glad if those words helped, I'm glad it did.
Yeah.
Now, I'm really interested. So we've talked a little bit about, you know, you've talked to some people. Some of our guests have helped you out. Let's talk about where your product was, where it is now. Have you hit your milestones? What's going on?
Okay. So the new brand is... we only launched. We're launched in November. It's sports and outdoor product, and pretty much immediately hit Amazon nonsense. The brand registry was incorrectly in the back ends. They put the wrong brand name The amount of time we contacted seller support, and it'd just be like, yeah, just go into seller central and change the brand name, and it will be edited within 15 minutes, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God. 3 months later, and probably thousands of these contacts with seller support getting nowhere. It was like, right, let's just bin all ASINs and start again. So this was probably February. So about 8 weeks ago, decided just to scratch everything. I mean, we've made some sales, got a few reviews, but the velocity and the like, it was more. There was more value in starting over and getting it right than trying to, because we needed brand registry to work properly to be able to upload the EBC, because we weren't able to do that, and it was just causing all sorts of issues. So, right, let's start over again and recreate these ASINs. Like, let's just start over.
So you got kicked between the legs.
Yeah, I mean,
and
that was,
you got up.
It was a 3 month, you know, sort of bent double getting kicked, and you know, and Amazon like to, if you're down, they like to kick you even harder, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of, they're pretty good at that. They're seller support. I'm not quite sure that's the appropriate name for it, but
calling it the dartboard, seller support dartboard, where wherever the dart lands, they give you an answer.
Yeah, or seller not support, or in support, unsupportive, or whatever. So kind of got launched. So you're going to love this. I've got about 350 ASINs. I've got 10 parents, and they've all got variants, colors, sizes. So that's why there's so many. So I've got about 10 SKUs that have all got different. So there's 10 parents, if you like, and they've all got variant childs in different colors and sizes. And we properly launched three of them about 8 weeks ago, because we decided to start from scratch and then sort of step phase the launches, and just to see what was working and what wasn't working, trying to take into consideration all the listing optimization that I'd learned from Amy, and having some influencer programs going and getting all of those sort of things in place. So we're probably, I think last week was the last launch we did. It's going okay. It's stepping up. I mean, I think what I would do with the next launches is probably do some more pre-launch work. I'd probably do more off Amazon. I wouldn't just load the listing, send inventory in, and do PPC and launch it that way. That works, but I think I'd probably try to do a bit more engagement and create a bit more of a social media frenzy, if you like, and do a bit more pre-launch noise to kind of generate a bit of interest and create those email lists, and then drive that external traffic on the launch, that which would then probably help with driving momentum and turning the flywheel a little bit quicker. It's an immense learning curve, but so far it's not going too bad. This is only in the UK. I've only launched in the UK, so the next step is to launch, because I'm still waiting for my VAT registration to come through from Avast. They've done all the applications. With COVID and Brexit and all sorts of other stuff, the normal application time is about 8 weeks. This is probably extended to 12, 15 weeks. And we're in week 12 now. So we should be able to launch into the rest of Europe in the next few weeks. Nice. And then once we've got a bit more momentum there, it's then starting to the US and expand into the US. But I'm really going to start putting a bit of effort into the Shopify site as well. Because with Kirimoto, Shopify does very well. And I know how to use Google. We know how to make social media drive traffic and Google drive traffic, and how to get Shopify working well and eBay works pretty well. Something I've also learned from e-commerce is do not put all your eggs into the Amazon basket.
Yep.
You are absolutely at the mercy of that beast. If they decide to suppress your listings, turn you off, give you limits on your inventory gets lost, a ship gets stuck in the Suez Canal and you can't get your stock in and can't get it into Amazon, you're in a spot. Your risk is too high. For me, I know I've heard a lot of your guests are 100% Amazon and they abide by that and they love that. And it minimizes their efforts and their focus is 100% on that channel. And that works and it works for them. And I have no doubt that they've got backup plans for if things do go wrong. But do you know what? I don't want to take that risk. So spreading that risk is...
I'm with you. Like that, my risk tolerance, there have been guests that have come on and said, focus 100% on Amazon. And, and this is just my opinion, is that, and because I've been there and I've lost a company because I was a one-legged stool. So I don't want to be that one-legged stool. So if I've got it on Amazon, eBay's been very good. I've tried to get people from eBay on. Not a single person has ever returned an email, a call, nothing. Yet.
eBay's
fantastic. And a year ago or a year and a half ago, we had two guys that we had connections in eBay and they were awesome. They were the business development director who could help anybody. Like if anybody were to call them, it's like Craig Garling or Amy. If you call them up, they'd give you a hand, right? And they both at the same week ended up leaving eBay. And now I cannot get eBay. And eBay is a great platform. It's not the eBay of, 10 years ago, which really sucked.
Yeah.
It is a brand-centric platform now. They want you to build their brand.
It's brilliant.
They've got really cool stuff. Like even one of the things that I love, so let's say I'm going into a purse store to buy something for my wife for Mother's Day. Boom, I can take a picture. It can go up to eBay. It'll show me anybody who's selling that purse. It's quite cool. And they'll protect your brand. And they've got all these other things that are happening. Plus their actual customer service, if you are a business, if you're in as a business.
Yeah.
They actually try to help.
They're very supportive. I mean, the great thing about eBay being kind of the sort of second place to Amazon is they are working hard to build their platform, and generate traffic both from sellers and from buyers. And they've got a great marketing strategy. They do a lot of advertising. They're all over, and it's easy to use. It's easy to use as a buyer. If you want to buy stuff, it's easy to use. You can find the stuff you want, and as a seller, it's really easy to use, and it's easy to rank. I mean, you don't have all of the tools like you do with the Helium 10 and Jungle Scout and all of the Chrome extensions that you've got. You don't have all of those particularly with eBay, but you don't, and they don't have FBA. You've got to have your own stock and you've got to have your own logistics and you've got to be able to manage that. But
they sell internationally and they take care of that for you. You know, if somebody buys, if anybody buys your product, it's not like in Amazon, but they've got a distribution network, a fulfillment center. I believe it's in Kentucky, and they just send off the product to anywhere in the world, no charge.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, it was kind of cool. Well, I am trying my best to get them on. I'm actually going to be spending a lot more time talking about Walmart and trying to get some guys from Shopify to come on. So that's kind of where we're going. We're not going to get away from Amazon, but we are trying to bring on some more guests that are a bit more diversified in the e-com space. But before we go there, Kels, do we have any questions that have come in for Simon? I know it's at the top of the hour.
Yeah, so we have a couple of questions.
Look at you, Daniel. Little guy.
Simon, how are you dealing with the CE transport delays and managing your inventory?
Exercising patience and it's a nightmare. Sea transport is in an absolute mess. We all know that. It's, you know, there is a massive shortage of empty containers returning to China. The shipping companies are capitalizing on that, and they've increased their prices by tenfold. Managing inventory is one of those really tough things. I saw this coming last year. I think I might have thrown in comments whenever you've had logistics people in saying this is not going to be over by Chinese New Year. I think one of the few of the comments I've said, I am a pessimist on this. I am generally optimistic, but on shipping, I am very pessimistic. I was like, because everyone was going, yeah, Chinese New Year, it'll all be over. This was in Q4 last year. And I was like, no, you want to be thinking Q4 next year, Chinese New Year 2022. That's when it might start to ease up. So fortunately, my crystal ball at the time was quite clear and showing me up. So I really upped the ante on production and getting stock in. I've still got a lot of stock ready in China, and I'm struggling to get it over. I'm having air freight stuff over at times. It is a tough one, but you've really kind of got to suck it up now. And I think you've now really got to start planning, forecasting for Q4 now. Get your production stuck, because lead times have extended as well, because there's the difficulty getting materials into factories. Factories are absolutely stuffed full of finished product. They literally can't move in the factories because they can't ship it out. So there's no warehouse space in Ningbo and Shenzhen and in Shanghai. So they can't really empty their factories. Their warehouses are. So that's causing issues on the assembly lines, which has a knock-on effect. So lead times are extending from normal 30 to 45 days to 60, 80, 90, 100 days for production times. And then you've got, I've just had a discussion with a forwarder about putting a container on a ship. He goes, it's going to be stopping. It's got two stops on the way. I think it's going to Korea and Singapore. Or do you want to wait for a direct shipment? I said, well, it could be. And that's going to take 50 days from China to the UK instead of the normal 28 days. And it's like, well, it could be another 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks before we find a direct ship. So just get it on board. And when it gets here, it'll be here.
Yeah.
It's just, you just have to suck it up but plan ahead now. Get planning for Q4. That is, you've got to be doing it.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes. So this is kind of about Google My Business. Tom Hartley was saying that he got rejected by Google, that they needed a physical location and they don't support online businesses. So no, how do you get around that?
Hey, Tom. Your physical location, you can give a home address. You don't have to give, like what we did is we gave my home address and you don't have to show it. You could let them know not to show it. There's a box you can check not to show your address, but they need to have an address just to verify that you're real. But again, they're not showing the address. It's not a bricks and mortar. We're a podcast. We're virtual. All I did was just register under my Canadian address, And one of the things is that they can geo-target or geo-fence, they call it. So if I want to go and pick specific countries or not pick specific countries or not allow countries to rank rank in, then I can pick them as well. So it's really cool. I'm in Canada, but my main target could be in the US, UK, Australia, wherever I want to target. So anyways, I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Simon.
I no idea. I would just say, yeah, just use your either your home address, or you might even be able to get like a PO box or sort of. There might be
don't use a PO box.
Don't use a PO box.
They will reject a PO box, or if you go to the UPS store, you know, and you just get one of their, you know, it is a box. They know. So just use a real address, and again, it's not being published anywhere.
And if you're an online business, you should, if you've got a website, you should really have your address on there anyway and a contact number. I mean, it gives you visibility and transparency, and you should be letting your customers know who you are and that you are real.
And if you do add, like, let's say some freight forwarders will allow you to use their address, but there are places in the States that you can get a US address, but again, I don't know why. Just use your own. If you do have a location, if you're using your address and you're using your address for Google My Business, if you're using your address for, like, let's say if you're doing press release, which asks for contact information, well, guess what? Google Maps is going to pick you up and start ranking you as well. So that's also a bonus.
Okay. And our last question is from Darwin. It's kind of just a broad question. I've never traveled to meet manufacturers. How do you guys feel not going to meet them? And how will it affect us as far as looking like a real or more legitimate company, not including COVID? So I guess, how do you get seen as a real legitimate company as a seller?
Sales.
Yeah, place orders. But yeah, I mean, I think it's to build a relationship. You've got to meet these people face to face. You know, even if it's just once. And I like going to factories because you can see the condition of the factories. You meet the workers and the people that are making your stuff. And you also see your competitors and all of the other stuff that they're making. And it gives you some ideas on other products. Doing all this ace in reverse stuff and all of that kind of trying to work out how to make a product from helium 10. Yeah, it's all well and good, but go to exhibitions, meet them in exhibitions and trade shows. I know it's difficult. It really is difficult now, but you know, everyone's Zooming and Skyping. So get on a video call with them.
Just, you know, if you're legit, that's all they really want, is to see that you're a legit seller. I know in the, like, 20, 25 years ago when we went over to Taiwan, it's just a different culture. They wanted to know. You never talked business. It was family first. They got to know you, and then it was business. Like the first day we would go in and we'd meet a bunch of suppliers, it was really not about business. Now this is completely changed. But the second time we would meet, we'd go out, we'd break bread, and I'm telling you, man. You know, you'd have some feasts, like, you know, your suppliers would, they would wine and dine, and they still do. Like they, if they feel that you're legit, if you're taking the effort to come over and to talk to them now, not only are they going to help you with product innovation, they want you to succeed. You know, if you're going to make money for them, they're going to want you to succeed. And it's never a bad idea to become I have very good relationships with my suppliers, and I can talk to them. I can say that we're friends with some of the suppliers that we deal with. It's just, it's great. If you're able to break bread with a supplier and you're the other guy's not, or the other lady's not. And also the other thing is if you're treating them properly on price, there is a price point level where you can, like, which is a point of resistance. Anywhere below that, you're going to have problems. The quality is going to be bad. They're not going to be happy with you. I like the win-win. I don't mind my supplier making money. If I can take that product and create perceived value, and, you know, and I don't care what I do with it afterwards. I might make 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, you know, the cost of goods. But if I can pay a few extra cents and they're happy, I'm good with that. I know when I call, they'll give me better service.
And I think, Darwin, I think there's a, I mean, like any relationship, it takes time. It's, whether it's virtual or like on email or face-to-face, you know, there's no quick way. It's all about building that trust. And it's a two-way street. You've got to kind of learn to trust them as much as they learn to trust you. So
that's right.
It is all about, and the tone that eventually comes through on the emails. But yeah, I think getting on video calls works quite well. Yeah. Phone these guys up. So, you know, they spend most of their time doing email. So getting a phone call is, they quite like that. But it just takes time. You just got to work at it. And however, whether you decide not to go there or, you know, I'm definitely, most definitely not going to be going to China as regular. I mean, I was going 6, 7, 8 times a year and spending 10 days at a time there. You know, my kids, they were turned into teenagers while I was building the business. It's like, they were like, when I turned up, when I'd arrive home, they were like, "Mum, there's a strange man in the house." But the last year, you know, with the lockdown as well, and then being home from school, I've got to know my kids again. And there's no way I'm going to go traveling around the world and not seeing these guys. And you know, yeah. I quite like being home. So, yeah, it's just, and, you know, there's the environmental issue, you know, jumping on a plane and flying around the world and burning all of that fossil fuel. It's unnecessary, really. So, yeah, I think, just spend time, trust them, get to know them, and let them trust you as well. But it takes time.
Great answer. Okay, I think that's about it. We're going to wind up. Simon,
no,
thank you so much.
I haven't got a giveaway.
We've got the contest winners that Kelsey's going to get to right now. So that's the giveaway. How's that?
Okay.
Your giveaway was your insights and your info today. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you to all your guests. Thanks, Kelsey, as well. I mean, Kelsey's an absolute superstar. So, thank you, guys. Absolutely brilliant. And
thank you, Simon.
Carry on with the great work. Absolutely brilliant. You guys are amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, what time is it, Kels?
All right. We don't have the Wheel of Kelsey today because the winners have already been decided.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Out what you're going to do there. All right. So we do have the contest winners.
Yes. So we have 3 contest winners. Okay. Take it away.
Look at how he froze.
Am I frozen?
No, you were, but okay. You had your mouth open, your eyes closed. It was pretty funny. Okay, so perfect. Who are the winners? Right. Let's go.
So number one, for our AirPod Pros, all we have is an email. So I just want to say that it's an email that starts with an LUD. I sent the email already. We don't have a name or anything. So check your spam box. Maybe like just make sure. I don't believe I have the name back yet, or they haven't replied back yet. So if we never hear from them, we could redraw.
Yeah,
but that email is out.
We'll redraw Monday. How about that?
Yeah.
If we don't hear back.
Okay. And for the Kelsey consultation social media, our winner was Fatiha.
All right, Fatiha. There.
So
and she's drum rolling, so she got it.
Perfect. So we can decide on a time and date for that. And then for our big winner, we have Stephen Yu. So,
fantastic.
Yes. So Stephen Yu, I know he just launched a product too, so I think he'd really appreciate that. But he is the winner. So that's an hour giveaway or hour consultation with you. So yeah, there we go.
Well, that's great. So yes, just get me Stephen's information. We'll book a time and we'll have an hour consult, and hopefully I can help him out with his product launch. Kelsey, I think, Fatia is going to love it. I know that she's got a few things happening right now. So this will help enhance her brand. So, all right, everybody. I got to really thank you. Yep, go ahead.
I was just going to say thank you, everyone that did our contest. It was awesome to see everyone's beards that they put on. we really did see the Beard Nation come through. And it was, really great. We love building out our community and like connecting with everyone. And Simon, if you're watching, if we're going to end the show, and then just stick around, don't leave the broadcast, and we'll talk to you afterwards too.
All right. Fantastic. Okay. So if Kelsey doesn't interrupt me, I'll just end up the podcast just by thanking everybody. I'm going to do his job a little bit too. Please, if you like what you heard today, smash those like buttons, subscribe. And if you're in YouTube, maybe ring that bell and you'll get notifications of when we're going live or if we're adding any new content to the YouTube site. And by the way, we're going to be doing some really cool new things in social media. We're going to be adding a few new playlists in our YouTube channel. We're going to be trying to stretch out and providing a few bits and pieces of different content and different platforms. Kelsey and I were talking about that a little earlier today. And so there's a few surprises that'll be coming up over the next couple of weeks. And you look like you're going to say something.
I was just going to say, we may be playing around with our Patreon again, really upping it and giving more value to it. There would be extra tiers. So nothing's going to change here. We're going to still do the Lunch with Norm podcast every 3 days, giving you everything. We don't want to put you guys behind a paywall, but we are thinking about upping it a little bit, making it a little more enticing. And so
very good. All right. So once again, thank you for joining the podcast today. We're broadcasting live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. At noon Eastern Standard Time. And thank you for being part of the community. Help spread the word. If you know anybody who we can help, please let them know that we've got this free community that they can join. All right, everybody. Thanks for your time, and we'll see you later. Lunch with them.